Happy holidays, and welcome back to the Voice Study Break. I'm your host, Jade Sewell.
And I'm Editor-in-Chief, Angeline Schmelzer.
Today, we will be talking about Hawkeye, Roe v. Wade, and our favorite and least favorite Christmas movies. All right, in the spirit of this season, Disney has released Hawkeye, which takes place over the 5 to 6 days before Christmas. I know we have a lot of opinions on them. So, Angeline, how about you get started with this?
So I've always been a huge Hawkeye fan ever since the first Avengers film. And then also this TV show also introduces the Kate Bishop Hawkeye into the MCU, which is great. I read some comics, not all of them, but I have a general gist of the character and the casting choice of Hailee Steinfeld in that character.
A marvelous choice, really.
Really great. It encapsulates the character well, and the show itself. So far, I've only watched the first two episodes, but they have been outstanding. They're great.
Yeah, no, I started watching this with my family over the weekend, and it's really nice because, again, I think it's kind of a more or less a family show, maybe minus some violence, but it's kind of nice because my dad's always been a huge Marvel fan, and I love Marvel, and my little siblings also love Marvel, and here we kind of see, Hawkeye. Again, we've seen him as a dad, but, in this, we really get to see him as this dad, this protective mm-hmm. figure, and one of the things that comes up a lot is, I think, also something that's kind of meta, which is this idea that, Hawkeye's kind of, the least, notable, Avenger. People who like him, it's kind of an out-of-the-box pick. People are like, oh, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, but, Hawkeye usually doesn't pop up on the, oh, my favorite Avenger list. Unless you're Angeline.
Unless you're me. Yep. I love Hawkeye.
And then Kate Bishop's character, of course, played by the beautiful Hailee Steinfeld, like you said, kind of brings this up. You just need a brand. You're just too, closed off. Nobody really knows a whole lot about you, which is kind of true. We get these brief glimpses of Hawkeye, but we've never really got, given him a chance to shine. So seeing him in this, I feel like it introduces him as such a complex character.
Yeah, I really there's this one scene where they're on the street and the little kid goes, oh, it's superheroes. And it's the people dressed up on, the Times Square or whatever. And then there's one, and then Steinfeld's character goes, oh, well, that's you. And then Hawkeye goes, that's Katniss Everdeen.
No, I also particularly enjoy that scene. Then we also kind of get to see this moment in the park where he's LARPing, which is funny because my dad's like, what's LARPing? And I'm like, it's live action role playing. And he's like, what's that? And I'm like, don't worry about it.
Right.
And then we have this very tender moment with this obviously this firefighter, and they even mentioned most of these people are firefighters and police officers, and they just kind of come here to have fun and take a break. And then Hawkeye humors this guy and puts on this little fake battle, which kind of warmed my heart, because again, he's so rough on the outside, but I really do think he has the best intentions. Although we do see his past come back to haunt him. We have this very beautiful kind of antagonist who, again, I think Marvel's gotten so good with creating complex antagonists mm-hmm. at Maya, right? Yes, it's Maya. And she's, again, a beautifully complex antagonist. So we see her as a child. She's deaf, and she wants to go to a deaf school really badly, but her family just can't afford it. So again, she's kind of struggling to read lips. She's not really getting a whole lot of sympathy from her teachers or her classmates. She's kind of ostracized. But you know what? She's still trying as hard as she can, especially for her dad. And now her dad is he's such a beautiful father, and they have so many tender moments. And he's the head of the Red Tracksuit organization, who seems to be the main villain group of this. And then Maya wants revenge for her father because Hawkeye killed him and his men. So again, very worthy cause, especially because we get to see how beautiful their relationship is as father and daughter. And again, it hurts my heart because she's not a bad person. Her family's kind of in a tough spot. They don't have a whole lot of money, and they're doing the best they can to get by. So again, like I said, Marvel's been doing a really great job of you don't want to hate the antagonist because you sympathize with them so much. And that's something that I've really appreciated about this series so far. Again, it's beautifully done. And now, one thing you wanted to comment on again, Angeline, was Kate Bishop.
Yeah, so like I said before, I had read some of the comics and read about the character itself, or herself. And Marvel is doing a really great job of encapsulating the character and kind of her personality. And I mean, there are bits of her backstory that they changed up a bit for the show. I believe in the comics, or at least in the version of the universe that I read, it is, you know, the mother that dies in her childhood, and
her father that works for
and her
Hydra.
Father works for Hydra, and then, you know, she is a victim of a traumatic event, and that's what kind of introduces her to the world of self-defense and learning that. And she first sees Hawkeye during a bank robbery, whereas I like how the show links it back to the first Avengers.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Because as soon as I saw 2012, I was like, oh my gosh.
I was so excited. And so it was really cool to kind of see that. I mean, obviously, a really horrible chain of events happened for her family, but it was cool to link it back to something that fans of the MCU will know and recognize and can really relate with and know exactly where they are in the timeline. So I think that was pretty neat. And just, again, I think the character development that we're going to see is going to be really cool, really nice to see. And
I think one thing we commented on too a little bit about is her parents. So in the comics, her dad works for Hydra. In the show, her dad is obviously dead. They make that apparent very quickly. But her mom gives me kind of icky vibes. So we're led to believe that her almost stepfather is a bad guy, which I believe is true. I think her stepfather's a bad guy.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely into some
shady stuff.
Yeah.
And we're led to believe that he killed his uncle for inheritance. But I have a strong feeling that, like, probably her mother's framing him. Because she seems like way too smart of a lady to be with this kind of oaf, to be honest. And I really think that she's evil and cynical. Dare I say, an evil girl boss? I don't know. Jury's still out. I think she might be her bad guy. So again,
We'll see how the plot thickens.
Now, I know we generally try to avoid some of these heavier topics on study break, but I think that this is something that I don't think we'd be doing our due diligence if we didn't discuss this. So a little bit of background. So on December 1st, the Supreme Court heard a case called Dobbs versus the Mississippi Women's Health Organization. And basically, the organization is kind of bringing up this case because the Supreme Court has set a precedent in other decisions and as well as Roe v. Wade that 24 weeks is about the cutoff where, like, abortions kind of, you can legislate against getting abortions. However, Mississippi has strongly advocated for 15, and they make it really inaccessible or illegal to get an abortion after 15 weeks. So the Women's Health Organization brought this to the Supreme Court, basically saying, hey, this is unconstitutional what they're doing, and it defies the precedent. So now we have a Supreme Court case who's going to hear this case, or started hearing this case on December 1st. A lot of concern brought up about it, especially because, again, it could overturn parts of Roe v. Wade. No, nobody's expecting to completely overturn Roe v. Wade. But a lot of states have things called trigger laws, whereas if the Supreme Court modifies their previous precedents, these trigger laws could quickly or slowly go into effect, which would limit or severely limit women's access to abortions. And we've already seen several states introduce heartbeat bills with little to no repercussions. So again, I think we're kind of living in a scary time right now, especially for women's reproductive rights, because this future is uncertain. Luckily, we live in Illinois. And for every, like, heartbeat bill that has been passed in other Midwestern states, Illinois has been stood its ground really strong about providing women access to safe abortions. But again, like, it is kind of terrifying to see the rest of the country seemingly go the other way. And I know we like to think that we're making tons of progress, but it seems right now we're, like, taking massive steps back, especially with such a conservative jury. I'm a little concerned. Scared. I think that's a good one. I'm confused, I'm concerned, and I'm scared. Angeline.
Yeah, and I think something really important to mention that you touched on is access to safe abortions. I think these heartbeat regulations or any other laws that are put in place restricting the laws when it comes to it, it's not necessarily going to decrease the number of abortions. It's going to decrease the number of safe abortions, which ultimately puts both the more so the mother at risk, or the woman at risk, because, you know, she might go a different way, and it's going to, you know, it could severely harm her and kill her if, you know, she goes through a different route because she doesn't have access to the safe abortion.
And it's devastating. And one thing that we kind of talked about before this is the whole, like, conservatives bringing up, like, my body, my choice when it comes to vaccination. And I think it is really funny for this conservative movement to be pushed. And then they kind of, like, tout it back, like, well, this is what you say for, like, reproductive rights. And yet they're so, like, adamant about that for their right to not get a vaccine. And yet they don't keep that same energy for women's rights at this point. So, again, like, mm-hmm. I think it's funny that they're using that slogan, kind of appropriated that slogan from women's reproductive rights movements to kind of use to justify themselves not getting the vaccine. And again, like, as we stated, it's a complete, like, logical fallacy. Because, again,
yeah, it's very different, because you have in one situation, someone could be, the responsibility of motherhood is a much more, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Individual, but it's a very individual thing.
Yes, and it's on, I don't know.
The woman.
I would say, yes, it's on the woman. I would just think the end result of taking away abortions versus not getting
vaccines.
They're just very different. It's comparing apples to oranges.
Absolutely, because, again, like, when a woman gets an abortion, it affects no one besides the woman, perhaps psychologically, you know, again, the trauma of going through that. But again, like, when you refuse to get the vaccine, that's kind of what leads to these variants. The reason that we have the Delta variant and the Omicron variant is because people aren't getting vaccinated. In other countries, of course, people don't have access to vaccines. But in America, it's been so accessible with shuttles or, like, several vaccination clinics.
They're free.
And the only reason people aren't getting them, again, is because of this call, like, my body, my choice, which is, again, a logical fallacy, because it isn't really just your body. When you choose not to get the vaccine, you're choosing to put everyone around you at risk. And again, like, it's wild to see, because, again, unvaccinated individuals are admitted at a higher rate. They have a higher death rate. They make up, like, the majority of COVID deaths at this point. So, again, it just puts everybody else at risk. So it's not even comparable. And it's so sad to see this. I feel like we're progressing backwards. On a more lighthearted note, though, we're going to title this segment Fa La La or Fa La Na, Ho 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 or Ho Ho No, Jingle or Junk, Naughty or Nice. Did you have any other names that you wanted to name this one, Angela?
I think you touched on them all.
I think so, too.
Oh, Gift or Coal.
Gift or Coal. Cookies or No Cookies. I don't know. We'll figure this out as we go. Name to be determined, but we're going to just talk trash or maybe hype up classic Christmas movies. All right, do you want to start with the suggestion list, Angela?
You know what? Let's start with a classic that I feel like a lot of people talk about this time of year, Elf.
See, I like Elf a lot. Is it overhyped, though, is my question.
Yeah, maybe a little, but It's a classic. I think
just for the work it did, Buddy the Elf has
the one-liners. The one-liners are outstanding.
My favorite, Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color?
You sit on a throne of lies. You gotta love it. Like, you can't. I don't know. I definitely think it's on the
ho ho ho, fa la la, nice.
The
gift.
Good, the good side of the list. Yes, I think it is a gift. Will Ferrell and everyone else that was a part of that film brought us a gift of many generations.
Now let's talk about another classic, but in another sense movie. It's a Wonderful Life. What do you think? Again, black and white movie, but I've always loved It's a Wonderful Life, although I am a little biased. I was Janie in a local production of It's a Wonderful Life when I was 10. And I really enjoyed the story. It warms my heart.
So I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Shun the non-believer,
I know about it. I know it's like it's pop culture referenced a lot. But yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
How dare you, Angeline? You sit on this podcast, you talk about Christmas movies, you wear your Christmas sweater. And
I do. But it's also Groot.
Okay, it's a nice Christmas sweater. All right, fine. Well, I'm going to say, just for both of us, I'm going to say that It's a Wonderful Life is a gift. All right, your turn. Another movie.
Home Alone.
I actually hate Home Alone. And I know that's a hot take. I hate the new one. I hate the old one. I hate the sequels.
So I refuse to watch the new one. I think the fact that it was redone is not like it shouldn't.
Gosh,
there was no need for it.
We can get into a whole other discussion about because, how unnecessary reboots
right,
are.
Whether you like the original or you absolutely despise it, either way, no one wanted a reboot. No one. Please. If you wanted a reboot of Home Alone from Disney Plus, please, you know, leave it in the comments, tweet us, whatever you need. If you wanted this reboot,
completely unnecessary.
Go ahead.
Completely unnecessary.
But I think you either cherish the classic film or you don't. Either way, you didn't want it.
No. All right, let's go to another bad Christmas movie that nobody likes. Because again, I guess Home Alone, jury still hung. Now, do you think it's naughty or nice? Ho 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 or ho ho no? How do you feel about Home Alone? I guess you can separate it for the sequels.
I like the original. The first one, number one. I think it was good.
The sequels, I'm most inclined to say
maybe not. But
yeah. So we'll say
one's good.
Hung jury on this one. What about The Grinch?
Fala meh
for Home Alone. The Grinch. Do you like Jim Carrey's Grinch? See, that's my favorite holiday film.
I do. That was definitely one that has been on the TV several times during the holiday season. I think Jim Carrey's Grinch is again, a classic.
Gosh, it's so well done.
Did it creep me out a little bit when I was younger? Maybe a little bit, a healthy amount of creepiness from the Grinch, I would say.
Gosh, it's so funny,
good.
Too. Timeless. Although, no reason for the new animated Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch.
I have not seen that one.
I haven't thought about it.
I was like, should I sit down and watch this? Because I do like Benedict Cumberbatch and his voice. I'm sure
he has a very
nice voiceover of that character. But also, the original is just... That's the one that should stay in my mind.
Why would you redo Jim Carrey's Grinch? It's just too good. No reason to.
Yeah. It's okay.
All right. What's another one? What's another holiday film we can criticize or compliment?
A Christmas Story?
See, I've seen parts of A Christmas Story, and I
feel like that's one that it's like, since it's like on a marathon all day, you either watch it on repeat or you just catch bits and pieces of it.
That's
I don't think I've ever sat down and watched it in its entirety. I think it's more so I've just caught bits and pieces of it throughout the day.
I'm the same way, and I think... I know a lot of people whose family love it, and my family is one of those families who loves A Christmas Story, but it's much more so like my grandmother and my like uncle's side of the family who like religiously, like every year they trade around like the leg, and everybody gets to take them the leg shoe lamp thing that's from the movie. And again, I've only seen bits and pieces from when it's on
fragile.
Like
fragile, it must be Italian.
Huh?
It's fragile.
Fragile?
It must be Italian. That's the whole
oh my gosh,
leg lamp thing.
I'm
yes.
so stupid.
Yes.
You're right. See, my family loves it. I think maybe it's just that, like, I've only seen bits and pieces. So I don't think, maybe I'm not qualified to speak on it. But from those bits and pieces that you've seen, I've only seen, like, the pole getting stuck on his tongue.
Oh, yeah. That's again, I feel like I've said the word classic a lot in this part of the podcast.
Well,
but that's definitely a reference with that one. You have the pink bunny suit. The BB gun, you'll shoot your eye out. Yeah, I mean, the one-liners from that one are also good and very much.
We have to put this on the ho-ho-ho jingle.
I think for the nostalgia of it,
probably.
Yes. If you grew up watching that movie, chances are you like it. But otherwise,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Is there any other hot takes? One movie I hate, and I think a lot of people actually hate this. I think this is kind of a popular one now. The Polar Express. A whole Uncanny Valley thing where all the people, like the figures are, just, the children are so creepy looking.
The animation is not
also, like, the man who sits on the top of the train always terrified me as a kid. He's kind of cynical And like almost like it reads very horror movie. It gives me like Insidious vibes. I remember seeing Insidious, and there's a toy scene in Insidious that reminds me so much of the scene on top of the train where his name's Joe or something, and he's one of the people who are riding the train, you know, of course, it's like train hopping, but like his character terrified me. He's so scary.
Yeah, it's something that's a film that I haven't revisited, but just like what I remember from it, I was like, why did I watch?
What was the need for that?
I mean, I don't know.
Again, we're going to put that on the naughty list, the ho-ho no, the fallout nah list, because I don't think that movie should ever existed. But it is from a cute little book by, gosh, I don't remember his name. But he wrote so many beautiful little books. My school actually had an awards for this man. What is his name? He wrote, it's like a little children's book. He also wrote a book about ants and about Jack Frost.
Chris Van Allsburg.
Chris Van Allsburg, yes! We had a whole Oscars for him where we voted on every book he had ever written. We read all of them in fourth grade. And we literally had a chocolate fountain and a red carpet. And we all dressed up. And it was the Oscars for Chris Van Allsburg.
So if you want to live the Polar Express, read the book.
Read the book. Maybe, yeah. And you know what? The book is probably far more appropriate and probably well done. All right, let's end on one more film. What other film can we criticize or compliment? Die Hard. Just kidding.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Again, I think that gets into the meta question. Is just because it takes place during Christmas, does it make it a Christmas movie?
There's in there that relate. Right?
Actually, you know what I want to get into? What do you think about the classic Christmas movies, the Jack Frost one and the Rudolph one, where they're kind of stop motion-y? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The classic ones. See, I love them, and they will always hold a special place in my heart.
Yeah. Again, I think it's the nostalgia of it. It's just you grow up watching some of those things. It's the same thing with Charlie Brown things. It's just it warms your heart. You just want to, grab a cup of hot cocoa, cuddle underneath a blanket and watch what warms your heart.
And I think it's great. What's sad though is animation has come so far. I tried to sit down with my siblings last Christmas to watch those movies, and they just were not having it. I feel like they were like, what is this? This is so poorly done. I'm like, this is my childhood. I'm Mr. Heat. Gosh, best song in a holiday movie. Gosh, you know what? I'm going to have to force them to watch it. I'll make them like it. But again, speaking of Charlie Brown, another quality Christmas movie. I love Linus's, the Angel of Gabriel, like that dialogue.
Where yes.
And they were so afraid. And the da, da, da. I was actually in a Charlie Brown Christmas.
You were?
I was. Guess who I was? Guess who I was in the Charlie Brown
was
Christmas?
Was it his little sister?
No, actually. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a human character.
Were you Snoopy?
No, I was actually Woodstock.
Oh, no, that's so cute. That's perfect. I love that.
I was Woodstock. I actually don't know if Woodstock's in the original holiday movie, but it was in our production, and I thoroughly enjoyed being Woodstock. We got to decorate Snoopy's house with, Christmas lights. Gosh, the nostalgia. But you know what? Let's cap it there. Let's end on that high note.
I think that's great.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for tuning into Voice Study Break throughout this semester. We've really appreciated you listening, and we hope you have a wonderful, safe, happy holidays. So again, I'm your host, Jade Zasul.
I'm Editor-in-Chief, Angeline Schmelzer.
And we'll see you next semester in the new year.